All right, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Again, we can keep in mind the elements of the gospel as we read through here. Okay, Paul, Silvanus, and Timotheus, okay, and unto the church of the Thessalonians, okay, and God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, the first thing we want to point out here, okay, in this just in this first verse, okay, there's something that the Spirit of the Lord is revealing to us. Okay, through the Apostle Paul. And that would be the tether. Okay, we see that. And God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So you put the word tether over that. And the Apostle Paul is identifying the tether, okay, which our joy is full by. The tether of our joy and his joy. And of course, by which we overcome. Okay, we see again that the Apostle Paul is keeping in tradition, okay, with what Jesus taught, okay, concerning his Father, okay, that the tether was always there. Okay, I do always those things which please my Father, as Jesus said. Okay, next verse, in verse 2, okay, we see grace and peace. Okay, so you might want to highlight that. Okay, even though this is now common knowledge to us, okay, yet it's necessary to reflect upon regarding this tether, its effect on us. Okay, a grace unto you. Okay, so you might want to highlight the word unto you, grace unto you. Okay, and peace. Again, he's talking about the tether again. Okay, so when we talk about the tether, we can see what we are tethered to. Okay, so highlight the word grace and peace. Alright, grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, look how he repeats himself there. Okay, this is a reflection of his likeness. Okay, which we need these tokens in order to do that. And the sanctified tokens. Great grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, a reflection of his likeness. Okay, we are bound to thank God always for you. So hide the word thank. Okay, this has to do with also with the seal. Okay, that the cycle has now been completed. Okay, we utilize our will with the tokens and keeping his commandments. Okay, we have reciprocated in his likeness. Okay, and by mirroring him, okay, now the cycle is completed. So we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, because the Thessalonians were in practice of this. Okay, so we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, as it is meet. And this is why, again, the Apostle Paul here is giving to us understanding and insight into the scale, okay, the scale of our growth. Because your faith grows exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you towards all toward each other abounds. Okay, again, the Apostle Paul is giving us some insight right here. So you might want to highlight the word faith and charity. So we got grace and peace in verse 2. Okay, and faith and charity in verse 3. Okay, now what kind of faith would this be? Okay, there's three kinds of faith. The fruit of faith. Okay, the fruit of faith. Okay, that's why it says your faith. Okay, again, he personalized it as that which you're expressing. Okay, and we know faith is a positive, is a positive response of the will, okay, to the presence of grace. Okay, so God assigned that particular response, okay, at the moment of that response, at the dawning of his presence and that grace, he called that faith. Because it was a positive response to submit to it. Okay, the will is going to labor with this. Okay, it's going to submit to this. Okay, but now, because of your submission and your humbleness, okay, you're going to grow exceedingly. Okay, this is another word of what he talks about here, abounding. Okay, so there's no restriction upon the God code regarding these spiritual things. Okay, whereas in that first covenant, there's a restriction on those things because of the presence of death. Okay, everything in that first covenant had its expiration date from the time it went into the entrance into the altar. Okay, it had an expiration date set upon that because these were all portions. Okay, they were pointing to Christ that would come. Okay, so this is a healthy Christian. Okay, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the charity, okay, which is a distributing factor of all these other virtues, of every one of you, okay, that shows that everyone is a partaker, and everyone is a contributor. They partake of the grace, and they contribute to charity. They partake, they contribute. Okay, they're laboring in the field. Okay, they're laboring. Okay, so we see faith grows exceedingly. They partake of this grace and the charity, okay, as a contribution of every one of you all toward each other abounds. See, Apostle Paul was able to gauge, okay, their growth, and is able to identify the tokens which they were using: the gifts, the callings, the grace of God, government, truth, spirit, prayer, preaching, prophecy. Okay, the stewardship is able to gauge these things. Okay, so by his stewardship, okay, what he's identifying, it says, by his stewardship, whereby we honor, okay, we honor the Father by honoring the record of his Son, and beholding the obedience of his, okay, of faith, that is in the face of the saints, okay, and also beholding his obedience, as well as your obedience of the faith, even to the suffering of the flesh. Okay, and he's going to bring this out here in a minute. You're going to see grace and suffering. Okay, how the Spirit of the Lord paired them together. Now that's the only element that is not of the Spirit, but it's necessary, and that's suffering. Okay, suffering is not an element of the altar. Okay, but yet there's a its presence is necessary for the exercising of the will. Okay, not only to teach us of our own state of frailty, okay, but also to reveal God's mercy. So its presence has a twofold meaning to it. Okay, it's the same thing with Satan's presence. See, Satan's presence has a twofold meaning. Of course, we know that he's the enemy of our faith. Okay, but his very presence, okay, causes us to exercise our will with grace. His very presence as a roaring lion. Okay, as a roaring lion, we are alerted, okay, to remain on our toes, okay, to be aware, okay, and to keep on the armor. Okay, so that teaches us a consistency. Okay, there's a demanding from us. Okay, there's demanding from us that if we don't put on the armor, okay, if we don't watch, we're not watchful, that we will be consumed by his wiles. Okay, the wiles of the devil. Okay, again, the wiles of the devil has to do with his knowledge industry, okay, and how he molds your perception with it. The wiles of the devil. Okay, the wiles of the devil has nothing to do with your flesh, as concerning, okay, the weakness of your flesh. The wiles of the devil has to do with a perception of your imagination. All right, so he's going to be talking about it here in a moment. Okay, we get to verse 4. So first of all, the Apostle Paul is establishing that they are growing. Okay, next he's going to establish that that the contradiction exists. Okay, so how is it that their faith is growing exceedingly and their charity is abounding? How is it that this could take place? Well, first of all, we know that they were keeping the terms of the covenant. Okay, but look what else was present at the same time. So that we ourselves, in verse 4, so that we ourselves glory in you. Okay, that means we're also partaker. We are also partaker of this. Okay, because as you suffer, we suffer. Okay, as we receive consolation, you receive consolation. Okay, and Paul brings this out in 2 Corinthians. So we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith. Okay? Now the word patience again has to do with the passage of time. That you're exercising faith in this time frame, okay, of temporalness. Okay? Passage of time. But you're exercising you're experiencing long suffering. Okay? Long suffering is being drawn from you. Okay, during this time of patience. Okay, this is part of God's instruction, classroom instruction for you. Okay, that as he's long-suffering with us, okay, we also be long-suffering with each other. So that we ourselves are also partaker, glory in you, okay, in regarding the flesh in this time and this contrast and contradiction. So that we ourselves glory you in the churches of God for your patience and faith, or faith and patience. Now look what he also says here, and all your persecutions. Okay, the persecution again has to do with the contrariness that exists in the minds of the ignorant. In the minds of the ignorant, that there's opposition, okay, and ridicule, exaggeration, and reproach. Okay, this is part of your persecution. So we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith and all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. Okay, you're overcoming. Okay, but you're overcoming through faith and patience, okay, as your faith is abounding. So you might want to draw a line from word faith there in verse 4 to word faith there in verse 3. Okay, because this is a fruit of faith. Remember, there's three types of faith. Okay, there's the fruit of faith, the gift of faith, okay, and also the doctrine of faith. Okay, that which we embrace. Okay, there's three types of faith. Okay, so when a person says, keep the faith, it can have two meanings to that. Okay, embracing the doctrine, studying the doctrine, but also keep yielding to grace, keeping the faith. Okay, when we say it, we're not saying it as concerning wishful thinking for a positive outcome. Okay, which the world, okay, when they say that, keep the faith, okay, it's more or less keep thinking positive. Okay, it's wishful thinking for a positive outcome. Okay, and when they brought that mindset into the church, okay, those which are outside of covenant began to view that and says, you Christians, okay, have blind faith. Okay, faith is not blind. Okay, faith is the eyes of obedience. It's not blind. Alright? So here he says the word endure. There it is. Also, the word patience with enduring. Patience with enduring. You're enduring the passage of time. Okay? These are the overcomers. Alright, now Paul says in verse 5, which is a manifest token. Okay, manifest token. Okay, this is a manifest token, which means an evident sign. Something is rather evident to the eye. We can see it, but the sinners can't see it. Okay, we can see it, we can understand it. See, our eyes see it because we can understand it. So we have the eyes of understanding. Okay. This is a measuring tool, okay, to weigh your growth by. Now Paul brings the same thing out in Philippians 1:28, where he talks about the evident token. Here he uses the word manifest token. There he talks about the evident token. Okay, so I'll read verse 4 again. So we ourselves glory in you, that's in Philippians 1:28. So that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith and all your persecutions, the contradiction that exists. Okay, because part of the persecution, what Satan wants to do is that he wants to emotionally afflict you. He wants to emotionally afflict you. Okay, now he can't physically afflict you except if God consents to that. Okay, as the stoning of Stephen, as an example. Okay, God consented to that. Or the death of James. Okay, God consented to that. Okay, for the purposes of his wisdom that is beyond our comprehension right now. Okay, why God would consent to such things. Okay, but one of the signs of that has to do with as the Apostle John writes about, the world lies in wickedness. Okay, there's another evident token of Satan's presence, okay, in the mindset of the sinner. Okay, Satan's presence is in the mindset of the sinner. Okay, his tethering is with that perception. See, our tethering is a perception of God because of grace. But the sinner's tethering is to Satan. Okay, which of course that perception is called iniquity, wickedness, ungodliness, okay, lawlessness, righteousness. Okay, and every other unclean thing that accompanies it, okay, which is also envy, okay, emulation, sedition, okay, doubt, double-mindedness, bitterness, okay, everything, all the bitter things are in Satan's tether. Okay, that's the evidence of Satan's tether. Okay, particularly envy. Okay, even Pilate himself saw the envy, okay, on the faces of the priests, okay, against Jesus. That he says, and we know that he was delivered because of envy. It was rather evident. Even the sinners could see that. The Roman sinners could see the envy that the Pharisees were displaying. Okay. But yet, that did not it did not stop the plan of God. Okay. Because it was God that ordained, okay, the whole scenario for the purpose of our redemption. Okay. Even though they resourced the kingdom of darkness, yet God ordained it. We see the same thing unfolding in the betrayal of Joseph. Okay. God ordained Joseph to go into Egypt. Okay, but of course he was not inflaming the passions of envy and murder, okay, and and strife and bitterness in the hearts of Judah, okay, or Simeon or Gad or Dan. God wasn't flaming that. Satan wasn't flaming that. Okay, but more or less, God was using that. He could use that just like the raging sea. Okay, the raging sea. Okay, you can say may be very troublesome, which it is. It's very troublesome. Yet at the same time, it could be utilized in promoting the direction and speed of the vessel. Okay, that is if you're going with the wind. And if you're going with the wind, there it can immobilize you. A strong wind in the ocean could set in motion the vessel. It's like a tailwind of the jet. Okay, if you get a tailwind of the jet, it could cut off an hour from your travel time. Okay, but if you're going against it, it could add an hour to your travel time. Okay, like the jet stream up there, they call it the jet stream. Okay, so it can work with you, for you, or against you. Okay, so here we can see that the suffering which was being initiated, okay, through the ignorant against the righteous, okay, was furthering committing themselves to build the kingdom of God. Okay, that they were not allowing it to overshadow them. Okay, to remove your foot from the place of confidence, the covenant. Okay, to keep your foot on a prophetic path. Regardless of the shadows that are cast across the path, okay, yet you continually walk past it, you walk over it, you walk through it. Okay, all of us every day walk through that path or walk through those shadows. Every day. We do. Okay, so that we ourselves glory in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions. So we talked about the word persecution here. Okay, that's a contradiction. Okay, the five C's which we speak of, okay, that exist within this dimension. Because of the presence of death. Okay, the presence of death. Okay, attached itself to Satan. Okay, and Satan brought that virus down here. Okay, which has to do with a perception and knowledge, a perception, a knowledge form. Okay, and Satan gave that same perception to Adam. Okay, which was foolish, folly. Okay, and a shortcut to divinity. Okay, without due process, which is wisdom. The due process of our reward, okay, is in wisdom, okay, which means we have to endure the contradiction to receive the prize of the joy. Okay, as Jesus endured, so we also endure. He overcame, we also overcame. He received the inheritance, we also received the inheritance. Okay, persecutions and tribulations that you endure, overcome. We are overcomers. Okay, we're overcoming by this process up here. This is a true believer. This is a true testimony of our faith. Okay, the false testimony has the false testimony is in the definition of born again in the false religious system. Their concept of being born again, okay, has to do with a point of enlightenment. Okay, but Peter, when he talks about being born again, he's talking about it as a point of commitment, a point of building. The word born again, okay, has to do with a commitment of covenant. Okay, but the Baptists, they define it as a point of enlightenment. Okay. And so they go. They continually reflect upon that point of enlightenment, okay, but without the building of the covenant, so it doesn't. They don't prosper spiritually for that, okay. And they always want to get back to their first love. Remember that, okay. You have lost your first love, and they look at the first love as enlightenment. It's not enlightenment. It's priesthood. Okay. The first love is a priesthood. Okay. The commitment that you show, okay, at his altar, okay, of offering sacrifices. That was your joy. Your first love was that joy at the altar, and you lost that. That's what he's telling the Laodiceans. And that's why they were wretched, miserable, and poor, and blind, naked. Okay? Because they're naked because they were out the vestments of righteousness. Well, where are they going to find this? They weren't putting it on. They weren't being washed in the conscience. They weren't being circumcised in the heart. They weren't exercising their faith. They weren't waiting at the altar. So they were wretched, miserable, and poor, and blind, naked. So the Baptists received the illumination of that first love, they call it. They call it the first love. They received that illumination. The light of God's grace dawned upon the soul, and they responded to that, and the tears flowed down their face, and they loved Jesus. Okay, but their love stopped. Okay, they had no tokens to express that love with. Okay, except with repentance. So they continually run to the altar to find that love again. I want my love back. I want my love for you, Lord. So they go to the altar. They beat the altar there at the front of the church. They beat that altar they wash it with their tears, okay, because they want that first love again. But the first love is not the repentance. The first love has to do with coming into covenant at the altar, see. Okay, and then the repentance is sealed at the altar. Okay, if your repentance is sealed, then there's nothing to be repented of. The righteous need no repentance. It's a sinner that repents. Okay, so they keep themselves looped to their own derision, okay, and they continually fall on the altar for forgiveness, because the gospel that's being preached to them from the pulpit, okay, is the gospel of the moral code. Okay, and every Adamite is aware of their frailties, their own moral code, and they're trying to bend the will. The Bible calls it will worship. They're trying to bend the will to a form of righteousness. So they set goals, okay, which we also call the journey. So they set goals in order to challenge their mindset, okay, their behavior, okay, their choices, their habits of life. They're trying to set a path, and the pastor in the pulpit by the moral code continually challenges them every day. And that's a form of emotional, intellectual flagellation. That's all it is. They're flagellating themselves in a pew there. They're beating themselves, like they're beating their breasts for repentance, but there's no conformity. Okay? The conscience is chafe. Okay, and they're beating their breasts in grief. Now that's what they did when Jesus, okay, when the darkness came over the land. Remember, they beat their breasts in great grief. Okay, that was a smiting of conscience. They knew they did something wrong. Okay, the chasm of hell, okay, opened up. Okay, and many of the dead rose up out of that chasm, and people were eyewitnesses of that. And there was a great earthquake, to where those and many of those that were opposing to the Messiah, okay, that brought evil report against him. Even many of the synagogues, all but one synagogue remained. All the other ones collapsed. Okay, in Jerusalem at that time. Okay, as was testified, and this is a heathen testifying of this. Okay, Pilate wrote to Tiberius Caesar, because it had to do with the events that transpired that day. Okay, that is all kinds of weird phenomena happened. The darkness, the lightning strikes, the veil of the temple, the rising of the dead. Okay, the dead mourning in the streets. Okay, at Jesus' crucifixion. Okay, and the high priest. Okay, and their plight of confusion. Okay, all these things happened, okay, at that time. Okay, so anyway, that was a smiting of the breast for their grief. Okay, that's the same thing that's going to happen the great day of judgment, because the Lord is the counsel of the heart is going to be fully manifested in the state of the conscience revealed. Okay, that they have no excuse for the choices that they made, and only our Father in heaven, okay, who is our Creator, okay, has the insight. Okay, to set the judgments on these people, okay, which has to do with the lake of fire. It has to do with the lake of fire. It's going to be a terrible time for them, but a great time for us. Okay, not that we're rejoicing or suffering. That's not what we're saying. But it's not that we're going to be, you know, pointing the finger, laughing at them. You know, it's going to be that's going to be the last separation we'll ever experience. Okay, but that last separation, again, it's because of that separation that we're going to enter the baptism of light. That is our perfection. See our perfection, but that has to be removed. Death and hell has to be removed. Okay, with all the tokens of death and hell, which includes Satan, okay, his demons, the fallen watchers, okay, and the whole industry of that. All the tokens of all the lies in the soul will be removed. Okay, this is what we're standing against now. Okay, so in verse 5, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God. That's what we're talking about right here. It's an evident sign. Okay, of our consistency and the rewards that await us, which is manifest token of the righteous judgment of God. Okay, the word judgment there has to do with a policy which God initiated. Okay, God initiates policy. Okay, that's a judgment. Justice has to do with the way it's delivered. Okay, this is a form of God's justice. Okay, that is the manifestation of it. Okay, or the sentence. Okay, a judgment is given as a policy, okay, but the justice of how it's delivered is carried forth. That's God's fairness. Okay, the judgment, okay, is equal to the offense. Okay, so he calls it righteous judgment because everything is measured to his holiness, Jesus Christ himself. Everything that we do is measured to his holiness. Okay, so it's only prudent for us to be holy as our God is holy. So we have to engage ourselves in a token, don't we? Be holy for I am holy, saith the Lord. That's a commandment, not an option. If you want to. He's not saying if you want to. He says, this is your love towards me. Okay, your love towards me is to build my house. Okay, and if you do these things willingly, you have a reward. Every night when we go to sleep, okay, look at the dreams that God gives you. Okay, as just one example. Okay, or a visitation of great power. That's another judgment. Okay, the judgments towards the righteous are righteous. Okay, and the judgments towards the wicked also righteous, but are with also great pain and wrath. Okay, righteous judgment of God. Okay, on them because on them the judgment of God is their derision. Now remember, we read that in Psalms 2, the derision. Okay, and the Lord shall laugh at their derision. He'll laugh at them. And that's in Psalms 2. Okay, because of that, they're trying to oppose God by their logic, but the logic of man is so restricted. Okay, it's restricted only to their experiences of life. That's why logic is folly. Logic is folly because it's restricted to one's experiences of life or lack of it. People say tongues are not for today. Why would they say make a statement like that? Because they never received it. Okay, so they extrapolate a scripture, some scripture out of the Bible. Okay, usually out of 1 Corinthians 13. Okay, they extrapolate a scripture. Okay, in order to justify their logic. Okay, and they'll throw away everything, every other scripture they'll throw away, but they'll center a whole philosophy on one verse, and that is also a misrepresentation of that, misinterpretation of it. Okay, as we see in the Baptists, okay, in the Baptist denomination, I'm not against the Baptists, okay, their philosophy, yes, but not against the people. Okay, that you may be counted worthy, there's the word worthy, which we were just talking about that, which has to do with being competent of His holiness, of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God has to do with the system and the name which we bear. We're bearing for His name. Okay, we're building His kingdom because we bear for His name. Okay, I bear for the name of Jesus Christ. Okay, naturally speaking, okay, being when one enjoins themselves to their spouse, they bear for the male. They bear for the house of the male. Okay, okay. In that system, that is also a type and shadow of the house of God. Very similar to that. Okay, that the woman bears for the name of the husband. Okay, we bear for the name of Christ. Okay, we bear fruit for His name. This is His kingdom which we're building. It's the kingdom of the Spirit. That's why it's called the kingdom of God, because God is a Spirit. Okay, for which you also suffer. See the word suffer there? So you can draw a line from the word suffer to the word grace up in verse 2 there. Okay, from the word suffer and grace. Okay. Suffering and grace. Because of the presence of death, and because also the expiration date that's laid upon our flesh, okay, because of the presence of these things, okay, we give ourselves wholly to the things of the Spirit. Okay. In other words, you have to use your time down here wisely. Okay, use your time wisely. Time management. Okay, for which we also suffer. Seeing is a righteous thing with God. There's the word righteous again. Remember, His standard is God's holiness. Jesus' holiness is our standard of faith. Seeing and understanding this is a righteous thing with God to recompense. Okay, now the word recompense, which means He's giving other tokens. Okay, now God has positive tokens and God has negative tokens. If we have time, we'll get the book of Revelation. We'll see the negative tokens. Okay, the negative tokens like the vials, the trumpets, the seals. Okay, the vials, the trumpets, the seals. Okay, those are the negative tokens. Seeing and understanding this, it is a righteous thing with God to recompense. The word recompense has to do with as a reward. Okay, it has to give tokens of the curse. And we know what the tokens of the curse are. The recompense of tribulation. Right? The recompense of tribulation is to them, the sinners, that trouble you. So I like the word trouble. Okay, the word trouble, is, of course, is to stir contrariness, contradiction. Mm-hmm. Satan loves to stir contradiction against you, the righteous. Mm-hmm. Okay? Okay, and we read that also in Psalms. I think it was in Psalms chapter 4 or 5. Or in Psalms chapter 4, many of those that trouble me, as David said, many of those that trouble me. Okay, they stir up contradiction. Okay? Intellectual contradiction. Okay, so they trouble the righteous. Okay, they want to cast a shadow across your path. They want to rain on your parade, okay, more or less. Seeing is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. They trouble us, but God troubles them. Okay, He troubles them with derision, and He sets contradiction in their path. Okay, that's why it's important to pray for them. Okay, that through the contradiction that they also experience, which is from God, okay, they also will cry out to God, and God will deliver them. That they would come in covenant. That trouble you. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. There's that word rest again. Okay? Our justification lies now with the tokens of his covenant. So we enter into rest as we labor with the tokens of the covenant, as we labor at the altar of Christ, offering your sacrifices, okay, and also performing your daily prayer, okay, praying in the Spirit. Okay, we talked about the word trouble before. Okay, and which means as a cause of disturbance, usually intellectually first, and then sometimes emotionally. Okay, intellectually, emotionally, and sometimes even physically. Okay, but that again would be only with God's consent. Okay, but God holds the reins of the heart. Okay, we can see that they wanted to do Jesus a great injury. Okay, but God withheld them, okay, from doing that. Okay, we can see that also God withheld. Another example, when Moses was in the court of Pharaoh, they could have easily arrested him and beat him, okay, but they couldn't touch him. They couldn't touch Jesus at a certain point until the Lord consented to that. Okay, we're also in the same state. I remember when a guy pulled a knife on me, okay, and he told me afterwards that he couldn't move, he was paralyzed. Okay, I was talking to him about the Lord, and he pulled a knife on me, and he was trying to get me with it, but he couldn't move. After I shared with, of course, I left. But a little while later, he wanted Jesus. A little while later, and then he shared that with me, and that personal thing. He says that he couldn't figure it out. He couldn't move. He was paralyzed. In that. Okay. So because it wasn't God held the reins of His will. Okay. God also holds the reins of our will. Okay. Good, because He directs us. He gives us strength.
See, a gift of faith.
Yeah, and even that too. That's right. God can hold the reins of the beast. He didn't let the lions gnaw on Daniel, but then when he released the reins, they chewed everything that came down into the den. Okay, God also holds reins. See, yeah, there's another experience of that too. When a guy threatened me with a gun, okay, we were out in the street talking to people about the Lord, and he threatened to shoot me. Okay, but again, he couldn't perform that task. But he did make, he made open threats, but he couldn't perform it. Okay. Now, to you who are troubled, rest with us. Okay, so we're the word rest again has to do with that. Now our activity is now justified. Okay, and also we're free from iniquity, justified by grace. Justified by faith, but justified by grace. Okay, we enter into that rest because we're ceasing to labor, okay, with iniquitous things. Okay, our soul now, okay, our soul is no longer agitated to fill itself with vain things. Okay, which before, when we were in the kingdom of darkness, our soul was agitated. Okay, and so we pursue empty things, vain things of this world, in order to try to fill that void in our life, didn't we? Okay, so we pursued things even more so. Okay, particularly when we're adolescents. Okay, as you're growing physically. Okay, the caverns of your soul also begin to open up. Many caverns of your soul begin to open up, particularly when you're turning into an adolescent. Okay, and immediately you want to fill every cavern with an experience. Okay, and that's particularly young kids, particularly. Okay, give themselves over to experiences. They want to experience. They want knowledge. They want knowledge. They want experience. Okay, all right. And so the soul is agitated. Okay, if the proper tokens, if faith is not present, then the moral code is going to consume everything it comes in contact with. And that begins to mold for the next 20 to 30 years of their life. That begins to mold the perception of life. Okay? And so that's why it's important to keep their hands away from tokens that would destroy them. And it's difficult. Okay? Particularly today, it's very difficult because the tokens of access to those things, from the cell phone to computer to television, to movies, to friends. It's too easy to get to. You can't guard them. You can't guard them, right? You wish you could. You just like lock them up. You'd be arrested then. That'd be child abuse. At least in the States it would be. Okay, but you can't do that. So we try to direct them to exercise their faith with these things so that the caverns of the soul will not be a sewage dump. It won't be filled with sewage, but with pure water. Okay. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. So we're ceasing from iniquity, laboring with the tokens of the covenant. The soul now is no longer agitated,
okay, for vain things. Our soul no longer vexed. Okay, the vexation has to do with the absence of grace. Okay, the vexation is the absence of grace. And the soul of the wicked is vexed every day. And it's vexed every day. Okay. To you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus should be revealed from heaven, with his mighty angels, which are also flames of fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. You need to see the word vengeance there? Okay. That's the righteous judgments of God on the wicked, okay, in a form of vengeance. Okay, because they withhold, they murdered the Son of God, now God is going to murder them. Okay? They murdered the Son of God. They counted the blood of the covenant and say something that was unworthy. Okay, they trod it underfoot as if it was the blood of a beast. So in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not. There's the word obey. Okay, they obey not. Okay, that is because they cast away, and they have cast away the cornerstone. They obey not the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel, the knowledge which is from above, okay, which requires our, okay, our, you can say our cooperation. Okay, it requires our cooperation. It requires also a reciprocation. Okay, it requires also our patience and endurance, faith. Okay, it requires our participation. Who should be punished with everlasting destruction? Okay, which has to do with the tearing down of the soul. Will continue throughout eternity. The tearing down of the soul. The God code which God put within them, they will continue. You say that the temperature of the God code will be turned up real high. Okay, but the substance to fill the void here will be very low. There will be nothing there, because everything they use in this dimension was carnal. In the lake of fire, there's nothing there. Okay, so that same drive that they had in this dimension, okay, they're going to have the same drive in the lake of fire. But there's no tokens there to resource to fill the void, except with the, you see, of you can say the pain, okay, pain. So that the pain of the lack there is going to cause great suffering. There's nothing there. Okay. But as the God code is increasing within us, the tokens of substance are constantly there. So it's filling us constantly. We have rest and increase all the time. We're increasing, building and building and building, abounding and exceeding. Growing exceedingly and abounding. See the words right there in verse 3. So that shows that the appetites of the God code, okay, in the soul are being filled. Okay? And that's good, because that's where your peace lies. Who should be punished with everlasting destruction, verse 9, from the presence of the Lord. The presence of the Lord, it means they have no access to tokens, no access to light, no access to peace. Okay, whereas in the baptism of light, the access there will be, okay, will be you see, consistently present, okay, through eternity, because it's coming right out from you. Okay, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. But who put those living waters in there? Okay, who put them in there first place? The engrafting of the Holy Ghost. God put them there. Okay, at the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Okay, I put the sources inside of you. All you have to do now is you use it. That's the living water. Okay, and it must proceed through a pure conscience. Who should be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Okay, the glory of his power has to do with the substance and the strength which a soul utilizes for increase. Okay, the glory is a substance. You put the word substance over the word glory. Okay, and over the word power has to do with that driving force. Okay, that driving force of the God code. Okay, they will not have substance from the driving force of the God code. So that the thermostat on the God code is going to be turned up to its max. Okay, but no substance will be present to fill the soul. So the torment, the frustration, the confusion, the derision, and madness will continue. Okay, forever, never, 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 never. Okay, and the soul will continue to shrink and collapse into itself. Okay, it's like a black hole. Okay, like a black hole. As they call it. All right, now, verse 10. Now, when he shall come to be glorifying the saints. The word glorified has to do with the increase of the righteous. Okay, and to be admired in all them, because we always will stand in great admiration of this plan. How did you ever come up with this plan? And we'll be asking the Lord even that question. How did you ever, to what did you resource this knowledge? And God says it came out from within me. Okay, wisdom. Okay, right, he didn't resource anything out here. It all was within him. Everything we see today, okay, in the form what which we would call visible, okay, and solid, okay, it existed in the form of imagination in our father. I think it's 1,365,000 portions of blessings. Blessing was called blessings on him. And then there was 10 gates, okay, of 300,000 measures in each gate was given to Enoch. Okay, and this was just for the purpose, okay, of being, God gave him the capability of communicating. That was just for communication. Okay, in other words, he turned up the wattage so he can, so that, you know, he could, you know, like you turn up a wattage of radio.
Okay.
Yeah. And he had to turn up the wattage. He said, if you want to talk to me, I gave you the language to do this. Okay, so God gave him the language to do that, the capability to reason, to talk, you know, so even to ask the certain questions. Okay. It's like when you start a new job. You start a new job, you go in, you sit down, you fill out your application. He says, now you have any questions? He says, I haven't even begun working with it. I don't even know what to ask. And that, well, God, see, Enoch was also in the same state in the seventh heaven. Okay, so God gave him, okay, these portions of himself, okay, just for the capability of communicating to him. Do you have any questions, Enoch? Okay. All right, and to be admired of all them that believe. And the word believe again, acknowledge, multiple to, because our testimony, the stewardship, okay, of Christ, the stewardship of Christ, and our testimony among you who believed in that day, the form of communication and the knowledge that you have received. Wherefore, verse 11, also we pray always for you. There's a word prayer there. Okay, this is, again, part of our labor and responsibility, okay, which we do. Okay, wherefore, also we pray always for you that our God will count you worthy of this calling, the calling of the tether and that of the inheritance, the calling of the Father. Okay, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness. All these powers will be granted to you, okay, through your cycles of growth and your endurance. Okay, through your cycles of growth and endurance. Okay, God will give you, bestow power upon power. This is what he talks about in Hebrews 6. Okay, the powers of the world to come, he bestows these things upon you. These are experiences which he's granting you, okay, for your knowledge. I'm giving you this power for your experience to fill your soul. Okay, and this all speaks of me. This is his pleasure. It's called a good pleasure. Okay, because it's equal to his expectation, isn't it? This is equal to my expectation. Well, what's equal to your expectation? Your faith. Okay, that you will accept, as you accept my tokens, I accept your faith. You accept my tokens, I accept your faith. Okay, now we're having a relationship here. They wish before is nothing more than the imagination. It was imaginary. Relationship. It's like a long distance relationship. Okay, a long distance relationship. You never met the person, but you talked to them online. And then when you go there, you find out that it was completely different than what you expected. Okay. And that can be deceiving. It's because people will tell you what they want you to think. Okay, they'll tell you that. That's like a long distance relationship. Okay, it can turn sour or it might work good. Okay, but usually it could fall short of your expectation. Okay, because people want you to see, and they want to represent something that they're not. God's not that way. That's not that way. Okay, we know him in truth, and we know him true. But the sinner knows God only in the imagination. Okay, a non-reality relationship exists. Okay, we see that in a false religious system. In a false religious system, a non-reality relationship exists because it's only an imagination. Okay, so they're projecting all these ideals about God, and they're bringing God down to the imagination, or they're bringing God down to their own expectations. Mm-hmm. So that's the Jesus that they love. They love the imaginary Jesus. Okay, but we love the real Jesus simply because we're keeping his commandments. Okay, and the real Jesus, okay, is communicating to you. A relationship is being born and nurtured. So the word pleasure has to do with it's meeting his expectation in reality form, okay, of this glorification. Okay, so all the good pleasure of his goodness, all these powers which bring equity, knowledge, and experience. Okay, and the work of faith with power. There's that word power again. Okay, so I hide the word power. Okay, again, the driving force of the God code. The work of faith with power. Okay, the driving force of the God code. The driving force. Instinctively, we can see this in the animal world. There's a driving force for their existence. And we can see that upon every day they're doing the same thing. They do the same thing. There is no increase of the instinct. Okay, they're just living out their day. Okay, they do that which is in the signature. Okay, but that's not glorifying God in a sense of increase of God's kingdom. That doesn't increase God's kingdom. Okay, but God created these creatures for our learning. Everything that God created, okay, he has a portion of himself in it because that's the God code. There's a fingerprint on everything he created. God put his fingerprint on it. Okay, so the driving force of the God code. Make sure you put that behind the word power. Driving force of the God code. Okay, so it's the work of faith with power, the driving force of the God code, which, of course, we're increasing by, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, there it is again, may be glorified. So how did the word glorified? Draw life from the word glorified to the word power. The soul is being fed. Okay, and you have peace.
And in God's kingdom, that power is grace.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you see the driving force of the God code. Okay, which is working with faith. Okay, so as long as it's working in faith, the voice of the aspiration is dead. Okay, the window of the imagination is shut. Okay, but the conscience is clear. Okay, and you can hear his voice when God speaks. You can hear it because the conscience is clear. So that the name of, see the word name there. Okay, we talked about that earlier concerning his kingdom. Okay, we're establishing his house by his offspring. That the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, which we're bearing for, we bear for his name. We build his house. Okay, so we bear the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, may be glorified in you, okay, as a baby is developing in the womb. Okay, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and because we bear for him now, by the tokens, okay, we can see that, again, the driving force of the God code working with your faith. We have an example of that up there. Okay, the God code is that driving force. That's a power. Okay, that's the power. Without that power, you'd be as a stone, a corpse. Okay, without that power, there would be no increase. There would be decrease. Okay, a tree has a God code imprinted within the seed. Okay, the God code that imprinted within the seed, okay, causes the tree to grow. But when it reaches expiration date, which could be 100 years or so, okay, it ceases to exist. So then the power is removed, and the tree goes into a form now of decay. It withers up, dries, and is used for firewood. Okay, so the name again has to do with the title which we're bringing forth, which we're bearing for. The name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, okay, as the baby is nurtured in the womb, and you and him, okay, is in you through regeneration, and you and him by covenant. So he's glorified in you by regeneration, and you and him, okay, by faith and covenant. And you and him by covenant faith, let's put your faith there. Okay, and that is according to the grace of God. See it right there, according to the grace of God. You and him, okay, glorified in you, regeneration, and you and him by faith. Okay, so we can see a tethering and a reciprocation. We can see a reflection. Okay, we are mirroring him. Okay, we now bear the mark of Christ in our conscience. According to the grace of our God, a grace of God and our Lord Jesus Christ, the tether is there. The tether is there. Okay?
All those which are listening today, if you like to come in covenant with God, okay, if you have to begin to seek God, you're going to have to also put aside the barriers of your former traditions and your mindset, and you're going to have to seek him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, okay, if you want to come in covenant with God. Okay, well, thank you for listening today, and continue to seek the Lord. His grace will abound towards those that seek him out of a pure heart. And this is Apostle Eric von Ersick here speaking. Have a good day, in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, be with you all. Amen.